take his toll. When the boss comes calling, don't you sell your soul. When the boss comes calling, we gotta organize. Let them know. We gotta take the bastards down. Let them know. We gotta smash them to the ground. Let them know.
Big FM 93.7 on the drive home with Sly. On the live line with us from AFSCME, Council 31, Ed Sedlowski Jr. Solidarity, brother.
Hey, solidarity, my brother, and a big solidarity to everybody out there working for somebody else and trying to get through the day.
Oh, yeah, having to listen to me rant and rave. It's just
I think suppressed rage has set in, man.
Well, I wasn't very happy with some of the election results yesterday, so.
Well, you know, the dismal part about it is the lack of people showing up and having a say on the future of our country and our communities. You know, it's... I was in a meeting this morning, back to school in Rockford, a lot of educational support staff, and the one message I'm trying to get people to understand is, hey, show up. You know, it'll be a better world if people just start showing up to vote in elections and show up to your union meetings and, you know, local government meetings, school boards, etc. You know the routine.
You can't really afford to be passive anymore.
Well, you got to be a citizen first, and that's the number one thing. Otherwise, you got people, you know, at both levels of our two-party system or whatever. You know, look at what's going on, man. It's time to start showing up because we can do better as a society.
All right. Periodically, we get a report from the field from you on what's going on in Northwest Illinois as far as workers getting engaged and what they're up against. So why don't you tell us about the projects you're working on with the good people of AFSCME Council 31.
Well, that's a very nice thing, and thanks for the opportunity. Remember, for all your listeners, in Illinois, it was a Republican governor who signed the collective bargaining law into effect in 1985.
Big Jim Thompson.
Yeah, so I like to remind people of that, too, just to show where we're at, again, politically speaking. So Illinois workers, public sector workers, still have unfettered ability to negotiate over wages, hours, and terms and conditions of employment. And the way to resolve a dispute is patterned on the National Labor Relations Act in the private sector. You got a right to withhold your labor, you know, the most fundamental of all human rights. Right now, our state employees have been in negotiations, some 38,000 state workers, with Governor Rauner in Illinois. And here's a guy who's refusing to put a state budget into place unless they pull a Scott Walker Act 10 in Illinois. So he's laid a line in the sand, no state budget without eradicating collective bargaining from the state statute.
He's holding workers hostage.
Well, he's holding the entire state hostage. You've got all kinds of people that are getting hurt by this billionaire. And we need more school bus drivers running the show and less billionaires running the show.
Amen, brother.
You got it, man. So the good news is our members, through the union, their collective action, you know, educating each other, ensuring every union member is involved and engaged with these critical decisions that are confronting them, that's going to affect their life and their career going forward. Just a classic. You know Kathy Lane, Local 448, good friend of you and me and everybody. But the leadership of this local is really something to be emulated. Last week we had a great member action team, so they get their leaders together from various work sites. And she's got about 50-plus work sites. I mean, everybody from keeping the water safe, DNR, child enforcement, unemployment benefits, lottery, revenue, you name it. And so they got together last week with wall charts and, you know, just making sure, assessing where everybody's at, 500 workers in her local, and, you know, just making sure people are plugged in and engaged. It's really, really a good thing in my life just to be a part of that. So, and doing it with great enthusiasm, you know, building that union, building solidarity. So at the state level, they're looking at the governor now is asserting that they're at impasse, you know, in negotiations. He's refused to bargain with the state since January of this calendar year, just refusing, declaring impasse. And all of that's going on, the legal end of things, the wrangling, the hearings before a labor board. And if things go the way he'd like them to go, it's going to be a really bad scene for working families, much like it's been in Wisconsin and other states. I don't know if you saw the report in the Wall Street Journal. I was floating around. It was a really crappy article written about Act 10 and its impact. And it was crappy in the sense it really didn't talk about the implications of the policy choices that were made in Wisconsin in 2011. But it was telling in this respect. Very conservative reporter identified that educators in Wisconsin have lost like $7,600 in their earnings on average each of the last 4 years since Act 10. So a really telling notion about what happens without the union wage effect, without collective bargaining. People's standards of living is just plummeting, and we all know that. We see it every day in Wisconsin. So,
well, and students pay the ultimate price.
Everybody's paying. You got it, man. And that's right. So the quality of the program continues to diminish, and that's the story that wasn't reported, that aspect of it.
So you've got such a bifurcated life. You've got some situations where you've gotten people to stand together and get some wage increases, and yet you've got a governor holding the state hostage to try to kill collective bargaining rights, pass right to work, destroy public employee unions. You've got this multifaceted thing going on where you're at war, and yet you're scoring some victories.
Well, you know, I think the victories come, again, at the local level. You know, it's much like the approach, right? The organizing methodology, just kicking ass and taking names, just being there for each other, finding out where every single person is at within your union, your work group, making time to do that, you know, making real time. It's hard work, man, but it really pays big dividends. I mean, when things are going well, it's when folks are in the same boat rowing in the same direction. It's not rocket science, but there is a methodology to it, and you know, it's what we try to comport and continue with the program. So just making sure everybody's plugged in. You know, educate, agitate, and organize. It's a simple mantra, but and again, keep your list, chart your workplaces, get together, and report to your union meeting, and just start talking about what's going on, man, and make a plan. It does work. You know, what we're finding at the local or municipal levels in Northwest Illinois is, just really briefly, like Winnebago County, the school district of Rockford, Rockford Public Library, the city of Rockford. Most of these municipal governments their budgets are such. Sure, revenues are down in some areas, property values declining, but there's a large a proportion of their budgets, their operating budgets, that they keep in reserves. You know, a rainy day fund. So you got these organizations with this mantra: "We're broke, we got no money," but yet the school district, for example, in Rockford, $111 million in undesignated reserves, or 30% of its operating budget, and yet they continue to, you know, just cry poverty, you know, and it's like, wait a second. So you can't every year after year, do that. You know, you can't claim poverty when you got $111 million in the bank and 30% of your operating budget.
Well, I think the workers have a much greater, easier time proving poverty, don't they?
Well, it's an ability to pay argument, you know, in its purest sense, but more and equally as important, is it a good use of public tax dollars to just have things sitting? And I use that term, and it drives people crazy. Hey, give you know, the paraprofessional, give the nutritional services worker, give the bus driver, you give them $100, and they're certainly not going to stash it in the Cayman Islands. They're going to go buy a pizza, get a haircut. You know, they're going to go out and shop. You know, and we're consumers, man. We're Americans. I mean, you know, I mean, forced consumerism under capitalism, and you know, it's a symbiotic thing. But it really does help to stimulate a local economy. There's no doubt about that in my mind, or nor in most economists' minds. You know, don't use it. Use the money that you have for a good purpose. And the other thing with Northwest Illinois is, as we're looking at comparability.
Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold that thought, and we'll pick it up from there, all right?
You got it.
All right, brother. I don't want to cut you short. On the live line with us, Ed Sedlowski, Jr. from AFSCME Council 31. Those are the public workers in Illinois and some in the private sector. All right, Ed, you were about to pontificate.
I was, and the private sector, we've done a lot of growth organizing in the private sector. Hint, hint, another place, you know, there's such low-wage workers running around everywhere. I think the more I've encountered just doing the ask, would you like to join a union, it's been pretty pretty easy lately. I don't know what's going on, but...
It's been 30 or 40 years of people being crushed.
Absolutely, and it's time for folks to collectively get their acts together and start doing the same thing again, fighting back, standing together. So pontificating, I don't know where we were, but I keep going. I wanted to just thank you again off message here about the report from the field, but listening to your show the last couple of weeks as I've been stuck in my car driving from meeting to meeting, I just appreciate you sticking your neck out and sharing your processing of the conundrum we find ourselves in with the two major party candidates. I'm just going there for a second. I just appreciate you doing that, Sly.
Not been easy.
Well, it isn't easy for a lot of us, and I've never had occasion to vote for a Clinton in my lifetime, and I've always looked for someone else. But now I think I was sharing with you, I've started to rationalize why I need to do it now. You know, Trump, I don't know, whatever. But
well, Trump has a pretty bad record on labor.
They both do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But the Democratic Party itself, watching their conventions, both parties, sure leads me to a more rational conclusion about the correct thing to do. So just go in there for a second. But I want to thank you just for sticking your neck out and sharing, you know, your angst.
What else did you want to report from the field?
Well, correctional officers, as I've gotten older, have had kids, and I've come to appreciate folks on the law enforcement side of things a little bit more. Winnebago County correctional officers, we just settled their contract after 23 months of really tough negotiations. A new sheriff is on board in Winnebago County, Illinois, Gary Caruana. And following 15 years of budget cuts and reductions to that department, he's standing up for his workers like he should be, advocating for safe staffing at the Winnebago County Jail. So it's a new facility, a nice place. They're not contained there, but it's a nice place to visit if you can get out at the end of the day. 2007, Winnebago County builds a new jail. It's a direct supervision facility, so they really staff it by posts. But right now, they've got 800 plus detainees, and they're down, by all accounts, probably 60 correctional officer staff. You know, and it's really an unsafe situation there. So we represent 190, correctional officers in the facility. And we're going to go up to the county board on Thursday to really kind of out those who are anti-tax fanatics on the far right and unwilling to do the correct thing by way of public safety, and ask them to support a budget amendment there. So this is really about workers again, showing up, going to the county board meeting, participating in public appearances, making the phone calls to elected officials, those relationships. You know, putting a real face and human touch on the situation. Who's doing the work? The workers just called me up and wanted to file a health and safety grievance, and my advice was, hey, look, if you're going to file it, have everybody sign it. You know, and lo and behold, they did, and it was really impressive. You know, get everybody involved, right? A little trick, but so it's just a good thing, again, to be there, and we're going to go make compliments to the sheriff who's ran on the Republican ticket as a Winnebago County sheriff, beat a 25-year incumbent that had left, you know, Democrat. So there's been a big change, and it's been very healthy, good mature labor relations, a lot of good problem solving, where you can find those issues of mutual agreement, you know, public safety, making sure people can get home to their family at the end of their shift.
And this is quite a contrast to the mayor of Rockford, who's up for re-election in the spring, who really wants to take time and a half away from workers.
Well, yeah, you got it. So Mayor Morrissey, hashtag Fire Larry, as I'm trying to promote. So there's going to be an election next spring, and yeah, he's trying to take time and a half out of a library contract, 70 employees at the Rockford Public Library. We've got everything resolved except this one issue, and the guy just won't back off, you know. And He's really dug in on getting rid of this long-standing, mutually agreed contract provision, time and a half on Sundays, and there's no library branches open on Sundays. But he wants to whipsaw everybody else in the community on this Walmartization. Walmart just got rid of their time and a half. I don't know if you saw that.
No!
Yeah, like a month and a half, 2 months ago. So they had given everybody a one-time lump bonus for their Sunday hours and then cut back on their recognition of that family time and worship time and all that kind of stuff about Sundays that people value and covet. And, you know, this is really, really cool because you've got 70 librarians who aren't even affected by this contract concession that's being sought by the employer, but they're like digging in and saying, no, we support the plow drivers, we support everybody else who works, you know, the 911 dispatchers, anybody working on Sunday who's got a union contract, we're not backing off. This is about labor solidarity. And those are some really great meetings to be at.
That is heartwarming.
Yeah, it's fantastic stuff, and it's a really great group. And we just organized 18 library pages into this local, the Rockford Public Library. Extremely low wages, $9.02 an hour is the rate of pay. Yes. 30 years without representation, no sick leave, no benefits, and 18 workers. And again, very easy conversation once it got started.
I'll bet.
And now they're all very active and engaged in their union, and it's just a remarkably new day for them. You know, sick time, a week's vacation, you know, all of this stuff they've never had before.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, just an afterthought, you know. So it's been really a good thing. Really,
I always like to tell, you know, I think we ought to just come up with reasons to fire Larry.
There's a bunch of them.
Larry hates Cheap Trick. How about that? Larry...
Well, in Rockford, that's going to help. Yeah, exactly. But not sure if he's going to run. He's handed over a bunch of public assets to an outfit called Gorman & Associates, based in Madison.
I know Gorman & Associates,
Property developer. I mean, he's turned over like hundreds of millions of dollars in public assets in the Housing Authority to Gorman. And the rules have been changed. It's loosened up at the federal level where... you know, basically, Gorman's going to maintain the property for like 15 years, and then they can stake a claim and claim it's their own. Like, I'm talking hundreds of millions of dollars of public housing assets. Morrissey's been traveling back and forth to China with this outfit, you know, like on their corporate jet and everything. And So the word on the street with Larry is he's going to go to work for Gorman & Associates.
Interesting.
Next spring. So that's a really crappy brush to be painted with, but... it is what it is, but that's what everybody's saying. And folks are lining up, you know, again, because in the spring of 17 is an off year, and we looked at the data again. The turnout for these off year elections is like 17% on these local races. It's just crazy. So a couple hundred people show up, and you can just change the whole dynamic of the politics in the community, you know. So we're looking at that very closely.
Great. Ed Sedlowski Jr., Ask Me Council 31, thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks as always, my brother, and just love you very much, man. But don't let the suppressed rage turn on you with the Trump thing. Emily's made me stop watching it, you know, because I was yelling at the house too much.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. You know. Nobody can hear me. When I'm at home, I can scream as loud as I want. Nobody can hear me. Well, maybe my neighbors have.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Have a great day.
Well, you too, my brother. Take care.
Okay.
You got it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Solidarity.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.